Hello, I'm Troy Abels from Hanford, California, and you are listening to Gospel Tangents.
Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. The wedding at Cana, found in the New Testament, was known as the place where Jesus performed the first of his many miracles in the New Testament. Was it his own wedding? We'll talk about the answer to that in our next conversation with Anne Wild, a polygamy expert, as well as David Patrick, an apostle for Christ Church, the Righteous Branch. They'll give their reasons for believing that this wedding was indeed the wedding of Jesus. Check out our conversation. Well, let me ask you a question on that, and David, feel free to jump in, because it's interesting to me that you mentioned that Jesus spoke to the servants. From what I understand, Jesus was
well,
a very...
Well, Jesus didn't. Mary turned to the servants and said, oh, yeah, he did. Well, he said, do whatever he says, and then he did speak to the servants, right.
But my point is, Jesus grew up as one of the most poor people from Nazareth ever, so why would Jesus, or Mary, for that matter, have servants if they were so poor?
Can I maybe make a little disclaimer on that?
Okay.
I don't believe that Jesus was that poor. When it says Joseph was a carpenter, it didn't necessarily mean he went out with hammer and nails. He could have been a contractor. In fact, the apocryphal information you read on him is that he was a very well-respected contractor, what we term we would use today. He wasn't necessarily just a poor carpenter. I know those words are used sometimes, but I don't think he was as poor as the tradition has it.
So Joseph and Mary might have had servants that were under them.
Well, I'm not saying that. I don't know.
Traditionally, too, at that time you might have actually gone to someone's house in the community to hold that wedding. Just like today, not everybody holds their weddings at their own house. They go to a reception hall or somebody else's home that has a nice yard. And so the same thing's going to take place.
So maybe they went to a rich person's home or something.
Exactly.
They did not live in Cana, so this was not at their home. They lived in Nazareth at the time, or at least Mary did. And she came over from then. And then it says that shortly after the marriage in Cana, he went to Capernaum. Well, on the way over there, you have to go through Magdala. You go through Tiberias, Magdala, and Capernaum, all on the Sea of Galilee. Magdala was where Mary Magdalene was from. And in our study and research, we've come to the conclusion that Mary Magdalene was one of his wives. And whether or not that was her wedding to Jesus, or Martha and Mary, who we also believe were his wives, we don't really know who the bride was at this time. Joseph F. Smith said he thought it was Mary and Martha at that wedding.
Jesus was marrying both of the sisters?
Yes,
right?
At the same time. That was Joseph F. Smith. That's a sixth president of the church. Mm-hmm. That was his statement.
Then if you go into the Jewish encyclopedia, you can also see that who's in charge of, what is the groom's family in charge of? What are they responsible for? The wine and the meat. And so all of a sudden now, with the groom's family being Jesus, fulfilling the Jewish responsibility to provide the wine. So, yeah, these are not explicitly saying Jesus was married. I consider them Bible clues. And as we cruise through the Bible, we're going to find these little tidbits and clues, but it's never going to outright say it.
And it says the governor of the wedding ceremony goes to Jesus and say, why have you saved the wine, the good wine, till last? Which means he provided the wine originally, too. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone to him and said, why did you save the good wine till last? So he provided not only the water turned to wine, but the original wine that was served, which was his job as a groomsman.
Oh, it wasn't the wine that he had turned, or the water that he had turned to wine?
Well, he did both. But see, they ran out of wine.
Yeah.
Well, who provided that original wine? It was the groomsman. It was Christ. And so it just shows that he provided the wine not only after the miracle was performed, but also originally he provided, because that was his job.
And now he has these disciples. So this is considered the first miracle in the Bible, right? As Jesus's ministry goes. But he's now got these disciples. There's like 12 of them. And so it's a big wedding feast. It's a big organization of people. And if Mary and Martha were also being married at the same time, again, there could be friends and family.
Would that
of
be
extension.
Unusual to marry sisters at the same time, or was that common? I mean, I'm not a Bible expert, so I don't know.
I don't think it's recorded very often.
No,
I don't know.
I mean, we look at
Jacob. Because plural marriage was absolutely not against the law. It was not against religious tradition. So.
Well, in fact, Jesus himself, one of his parables in Matthew 25 is the parable of the 10 virgins. And they go in and these 10 go and they're waiting to be called, the bridegroom to call them. And then 5 of them don't have enough oil and 5 of them do. And we're talking about a wedding of 10 here, potentially. So when we're talking about plural marriage.
You think these women were there to be married, not just guests of the.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, I haven't heard that one. Well, because the other thing that I just wanted to bring up, going back to the Old Testament, I mean, certainly polygamy is all over the Old Testament, but, you know, the story of Jacob and Rachel and Leah, Jacob had to wait 7 years to marry.
No, he married them both at the same time.
Didn't he get deceived and marry Leah? He wanted to marry
Rachel.
Yeah, and Laban said, you got to wait 7 years, so he married Leah, because she had the veil, and he thought it was Rachel. And then he says, "Oh, if you want Rachel, you got to work for me another 7 years."
He had to work 7 more years, but he didn't wait 7 more years for their marriage. Is what I understand.
Right, that's the way I understand it too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So the marriages took place quick, but he didn't promise to stay on for another 7 years.
Oh, so.
And he did.
He married to Leah, but he wanted to be married to Rachel, so he didn't have to wait. Work 7 years and then marry Rachel. He was able to marry her, but promised to work that.
See, how did Laban not know that he wouldn't sneak away in the night?
Well, I don't know.
I would think he would wait 7 years, because otherwise there's no reason for...
Well, from Jacob's point of view, he got the best of the deal.
He was an honorable man.
Well, I know. Doesn't Jacob mean deceiver? Because he also had that story with Esau where... He put on the goat skin.
Yeah, I know that. They disguise his hands.
Yeah, so I know that I swear that I've heard that the word Jacob actually means deceiver, because he was definitely capable of deception in that case. But anyway, so is it true that both of you think that this first miracle, the turning the water to wine, Jesus was certainly married, but do you both believe it was to Mary and Martha, or was it to Mary Magdalene? Or
it could have been any one of those three, or the
right.
two. I think when he married Mary and Martha, and this is just my personal opinion, it makes sense to me that he would have married them both about the same time. So it could have been their marriage. I don't think he was married to all three at the same time. And I don't know who he married first, whether it was Mary Magdalene. I mean, we don't have a lot of details on this.
Right.
In fact, we're coming to the conclusion, based on traditions and putting things together, reading between the lines, there's enough evidence that, you know, a lot of people outside the Mormon church believe that he was married. Is it Margaret Starbird wrote Woman with the Alabaster Jar? And in there, she says that Mary Magdalene was his wife. And, you know, she's not Mormon. So there's a lot of scholars that in the last, oh, say, 100 years have come to the conclusion that he must have been married. I mean, when he says, come follow me, number one, he didn't say, come follow me, but I'm not going to be married, but you be married. Why was he baptized? It said, to fulfill all righteousness. Well, baptism... I'm not going to say one ordinance is above another, but certainly marriage is a little more important than baptism when you're talking about a family. Why wouldn't he be fulfill all righteousness when it comes to the ordinance of marriage?
Well, in fact, for Jews, that was like the first commandment, multiply and replenish the earth. And to be known as a rabbi wasn't a light thing. You had to, one, be know the law and the prophets. You had to know the law and the prophets. You had to be married, and you had to be ordained. And so they actually did ordination in Jewish faith until about the 4th century, and then they discontinued it. They tried to get it started up again in the 16th century, but it never really took as far as ordination goes. So you have those three things. Know the law and the prophets. He knew it at 12. Remember, he spent that time speaking
in the temple.
And then, of course, married. So he enters his ministry at age 30, which is also a prime time for somebody that's a rabbi to start doing their work as a rabbi. So he probably was already married by 20. And I'm speculating on that.
Yeah.
It's an unknown. But he probably was, and therefore he probably already had children as well.
We certainly don't hear about children in the Bible.
No.
There's evidence of that too.
And in the Book of Mormon, in the Book of Nephi, Nephi says, he prophesies. He says, well, in the Book of the Lamb of God, they will take away many plain and precious things. I mean, what's more precious than notations about children or wives or something like that? And the canon of Scripture as we know it in the Bible happened in 300 to 400 AD. I mean, that's a good little bit of time, and they had to decide, which books are we going to put in here?
Yeah.
And they'd already pretty well established which direction they're going with their religion, and so then they put the books in that match up with the direction that they wanted to go.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Ann Wild and David Patrick. In our next conversation, we'll talk about the speculation that Mary Magdalene was the wife of Jesus.
When she went early in the morning with spices, and he was gone, and two angels said, he's risen. And he appeared. She thought he was the gardener. And as soon as she realized who it was, she went to him, and Christ said, touch me not. Joseph Smith, this wouldn't be for the evangelicals particularly, but Joseph Smith in the Inspired Translation said, hold me not, meaning embrace me. Well, who would be willing to go over to the Savior and embrace him but a wife?
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please support Gospel Tangents and become a subscriber. For just $5 a month, go to patreon.com/gospeltangents and you can hear the entire interview. And you can also get transcripts available at either our Amazon website, or if you want to give the money to me and not Amazon, please subscribe on my website at gospeltangents.com and you can click the yellow subscribe button. Of course, we're also on Facebook, Twitter, and all the other places. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. And don't forget to click here to subscribe on YouTube, here for a transcript. And over here, we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again for listening.